When I was 7 years old, I was on a family holiday in Kerry with my family and my cousin's family. We were in Tralee, right before the Rose of Tralee Festival was on. It was just kind of, we weren't there for that. It was just kind of coincidence. A couple of months later, I was in school and it was just starting second class. So I couldn't see the blackboard and I was really struggling to see. And I complained to my mom after school and she said it looked like there was a piece of cling film over my eye. She took me to the local optician who said, oh, he's got an infection in his eyelashes. She said, just in case, let's refer you to this eye doctor in Dublin. And it turned out I had a cataract. So I got the cataract removed. All was fine. Was told it couldn't transfer to the other eye. There was no risk of that. A year and a half later, it transferred to the left eye. So I had to go for an operation, get that removed. That was fine. And then when I was 16, so I was just in fifth year in school, started getting a cataract on the right eye again. I thought, bloody hell, this is very annoying. I'd had two of these operations, one already on that eye, so it was fine. Had the cataract operation on the right eye, and on the way home from hospital, I got this terrible, terrible pain just in above the bridge of my nose, between both eyes, and I couldn't actually see what was going on. I had this really kind of underwater vision, like you were looking at something above the surface of a pool. Called the night doctor. Night doctor said he needs to get to the hospital now. Turns out that the operation had been successful, but something had still gone wrong. I ended up in hospital getting an emergency surgery for treatment for glaucoma because my left eye was about to explode. That started this journey of darkness, literal darkness, because I could not see anything for about 2 weeks. And I was in a hospital bed, couldn't open my eyes. Anytime I did open my eyes, I couldn't see anything. So the only thing I had for any kind of stimulus or entertainment was music. Been playing guitar since I was a kid. MTV2 had just started airing on TV about 2 years earlier. So I'd been getting into newer music, you know, heavier music. But MTV2 was also still going through its teething phases. And I heard this incredible tune, this incredible music video, and this really, really aggressive and angry band. And I thought, that's brilliant. What is it? And I waited and I waited and I waited. And the logo, the MTV logo, glitched out and I never found out what that band was until a couple of weeks later when, just before I went into hospital, I saw a very similar music video, a very similar song, and then at the end of that song, the music video played the intro to the previous song and I was like, that's it! That's it! Because that was Filmmaker by the Cooper Temple Claws. The end of that music video led into Been Training Dogs by the Cooper Temple Claws. So when I was in hospital, I was asked what kind of music did I want. And I had a few albums that I listened to for comfort, just for enjoyment and whatnot. But I really wanted this new one. And I knew this album was coming out the same week I was having my operation. So I told my brother to pick this up for me. See This Through and Leave by the Cooper Temple Claws. I didn't listen to any other albums for those 2 weeks. I just listened to that one because that album connected with me in a way that I couldn't have imagined. It starts off extremely atmospherically. So you have this song called Did You Miss Me, which has this really kind of rich intro, this kind of almost wind chimey Eurovision-y style that just plays and lures you into a sense of relaxation before the song starts accelerating and accelerating, getting louder and getting heavier, getting angrier. And then that leads into Filmmaker. And then that leads into a tune called Panzer Attack, which you might have guessed is even faster and angrier. And when you're in a hospital bed and you feel like shit and you can't see anything, you can't do anything, you can't go anywhere, you can't go to the bathroom on your own, you feel completely vulnerable to or susceptible to any kind of influence or stimulus. But when you're in that position, the two strongest feelings that you have are those of loneliness and those of anger. And maybe loneliness isn't really right. Maybe solitude is better, because even if there's loads of people in the room with you, you still feel like you're trapped inside your own head or your own body. And this was a really, really angry album that soundtracked everything I wanted to listen to at that time, everything I needed to hear. I can't speak for anyone else's blindness, but my blindness was intertwined with pain. And that wasn't just from the operation, but it was real kind of lasting inside your head and kind of inside your heart pain as well. I'd been dealing with eye problems pretty much my entire life, more than half my life at that stage. And you think you're over all of them, and even the procedure that you're going through is pretty standard. I still had fairly good eyesight at this stage. I was too stubborn to wear glasses, but I still had fairly good eyesight by that stage. And when my left eye just kind of gave up and caved in and said no, I remember being in the ambulance and being in Temple Street Hospital for 6-7 hours before going into the operation room. When I came to, my left eye and my right eye were both covered with patches. There was no operation done on the right eye, but it was done to stop me opening my eyes because the initial feeling would be of pain. I had had an operation to put in a thing called an AMED valve, which allows fluid from the front of the eye to flow to the back of the eye. Everybody has a valve in their eyes to do this, but mine had given up. And when I came to, there was some sealant on my left eye to physically stop me from opening it. But I knew something was wrong. If you imagine your eye to have 4 quarters of vision at the bottom right corner of my left eye, so the eye, the part of your eye where you could see your nose, the rest of my sight was dark, as colorless as if you close your eyes when you're going to sleep, but that corner was milky. It was like somebody had spilled low-fat milk or slimline milk in my eye, and it couldn't be wiped away. And it was this, there was all this incredible scratching feeling that you couldn't possibly relieve, because if you were to touch your eye, it would just cause even more pain. And the right eye was kind of tethered to that one as well. So my eyes were just closed the whole time. And even days later, there was still a huge amount of pain, not just in the left eye, but in the right eye. And it turned out that I had had an air bubble in the left eye as well, which was kind of like if somebody stuck a pebble under your eyelid. And that was going to take some time to drop down. And when you close your eyes and you keep your eyes closed for a very long time, it's the same feeling you get when you're in bed and you can't sleep. And you know you need to go to sleep. You know you should go to sleep. You probably exercised. You drank warm milk. You did everything you're supposed to do. And you still can't sleep. You got insomnia because your mind is active. It's like being like that for constantly, for 24 hours. And you lose track of time because you have no frame of reference. You don't know if it's sunny out. You don't know if what the weather's like, whether the birds are singing or it's some beeping down the hall. Every sound kind of feels like an emergency, so there is that real sense of fear and panic. But also there's this kind of hopelessness, because there's genuinely a point where even the doctors aren't sure if the sight's going to come back in your eye. So you're sitting there not knowing if you're going to get better. You're hurting the whole time. You're completely losing track of where you are, when you are, and whether or not things are going to change. And you have no concept of how long it's going to take for them to change. So to have any kind of anchor, to have any kind of reference point or relevance or something to even distract you is a blessing. And in that time, it was music for me. This album was inflating me, and it was inflating me with every note, with every beat, with every little musical nuance and innovation. It was exactly what I needed right then, more than any medicine, although I am very thankful for the medicine, more than any words or anything else that could have supported me at the time, that has this lyric, "Remember the time that I couldn't see," and it just really kicked me in the head when I heard that lyric, because I started getting kind of Truman Show paranoid, thinking, is this a set piece for me, for my life? Because so much of the album's lyrics and imagery are about sight and vision, and they all talk about pushing forward despite any of the pain or obstacles that you encounter along the way in life, and in a way that isn't patronizing, but in a way that's kind of like, life sucks, all you can do is fight back against it and make it better for yourself. The most important thing in the world, in life, to feel validated, to feel like someone cares about you, is it's a fairly vague phase, but or phrase, but it's to be seen. Like when you feel like something or someone gets you, it's very powerful. It's like maybe it's your loved one, maybe it's a box of sweets that you got at the right time, maybe it's a film that you watched and made you cry. And when I listen to that album, I do feel seen. I feel like someone knows who I am, and it kind of validates who I am. In the end, everything turned out all right. I did lose that quarter of sight in my left eye, but I can see again. I have glasses now. I'm terrible in the dark. I'm terrible transitioning from a light room to a dark room, but at least I got my vision back. It was a happy ending. When I listen back to those tunes, it's not like it triggers any kind of pain or any bad memories or anything. It's more like if you're at a funeral and somebody shows you compassion, gives you a hug, and is kind, and kindness is a very underrated thing in the world anyway. That's what I remember. It's not the pain or the sadness. It's the kindness and compassion. And I feel that way towards this album and this band. It doesn't bring back any negative thoughts whatsoever. It brings back the positive, buoyant ideas of soaring, being safe, and giving you hope in that there's a way through, there's a way after this, or there's something after this for you that matters.